Welcome back to the Bama Beat. I'm Ben Jones here with Cecil Hurt. We told you guys we were going to do another basketball podcast once things were a little bit more settled after Nate Oates had some time on the job. I think now is probably a good time for us to do that. John Petty and Kyra Lewis Jr., both out of the transfer portal. They have emerged, Cecil.
They have.
Does the same player come out of the transfer portal that went into it, or are you always changed once you've gone into the portal?
I don't know. I don't know what that low-level portal radiation does to you. It's a fair question.
Yeah.
But we just hadn't had – it just hadn't been there long enough to have a long-term study.
Yeah.
10 years from now.
We'll be able to study the effects of the portal on the players who spent some time inside of it. Nate Oates has also made some hires to his coaching staff. I believe at this point, does he have all three assistants, or he at least has two of them, right?
He does. I would anticipate an official announcement.
Yeah.
I think there are still
– getting contracts done.
Well, there are contracts, and then there are also administrative – positions. His strength coach, so he's bringing the strength coach from Buffalo, but I think there are other, you know, administrative jobs that he's still looking at to fill. So it's
close,
wait and see.
Yeah, but it's close to done.
It is.
And we can talk about some of the assistants that he's bringing here. For starters, Kyra Lewis out of the transfer portal. That's probably the biggest news. We're recording this podcast on Tuesday, April 9th. And the news just broke on Monday, April 8th, that he was coming out. You guys probably won't listen to this podcast until later tonight, or maybe even Wednesday morning, later in the week, depending on when you download it. But this was probably the most substantial player, including Trendon Watford, who will come up later on this podcast. Probably more important for Alabama to get Kyra Lewis out of the transfer portal than it was to get Trendon Watford to campus.
Based on experience and positional need, and certainly on Kyra's ability.
I mean,
Kyra's a five-star. Had Kyra stayed in high school and played this year, he would be a higher-ranked recruit than Trendon, and that's no disrespect to Trendon.
Yeah, Kyra came out, was the number 39 player in the 247 sports composite, which is a high four-star, but for a guy, like Cecil said, being his age, if he'd spent one more year in high school, then he would have been a top 20 player at least, presumably.
He would have had,
with one more year of development. And
with the pool of point guards being what it is in this class, he would have had the elite programs, the Virginias and Texas Techs.
Elite. Kyra Lewis obviously comes back and is an instant starter for you next year. John Petty comes back and will have the ability to compete for a starting job, was a starter kind of for most of the season for this year. You've got Herbert Jones coming back. I'm sorry. Not everybody on the team can be named Lewis, I guess.
No.
Dazon Ingram and Daniel Giddens still in the transfer portal. Perhaps our long-term study on its effects will be better done by looking at what happens with those guys when they come out of it. Presumably, they will not be back at Alabama for the last season. Those are both graduate transfers, guys who have their degrees, who went through senior day ceremonies. Is it safe to say at this point that those guys won't be back for the coming season?
I would say that the two grad transfers will play somewhere else.
Okay. But,
you know, there's again, Daniel's a really good guy. You know, Dejon has graduated, has been a contributor, but if you're the new coach, there's less reason to invest in a guy for 1 year, you know.
Mm-hmm.
To be perfectly frank, it's going to be all new for them, regardless whether they stay or whether they go to somewhere else. And so I think both of them will look probably different.
Yeah.
I would be very surprised if either one were back next year.
Yeah. What should expectations be for Kyra Lewis going into his sophomore season? I would assume he'll be a preseason All-SEC type of player. Is it possible that he'll only be with the program one more year?
It's possible. It is possible. He has that kind of ability. I have to see how the year plays out. But he's a freshman All-SEC. Those guys generally, given the number of guys who go pro, finish up their eligibility, those are the guys that you look at. for next year in terms of all SEC and getting that kind of recognition. And again, he's you know, he had some inconsistencies his first year, but he was you know, clearly you watch Alabama play and he would stand out on the tape.
Yeah. Obviously, probably a little bit too soon otherwise to start putting together a lineup. Some of that because Alabama's still going to be recruiting some guys. They've gotten one commitment for a post player in this class of 2019. I believe is not signed yet with Alabama, but is expected to end up here on campus, right? He was being recruited by Nate Oates at Buffalo.
Yeah, Raymond Hawkins, as right. soon as the signing, he'll sign the first day of the actual signing period.
Right. So he'll end up here. The believe Alabama's other three commitments in the recruiting class have all reaffirmed that they
have.
Intend
they have
to stay
Juwan
true.
Juwan Gary from Columbia, South Carolina, currently in Charlotte, North Carolina, finishing up some schoolwork. Said on his Instagram account yesterday that he was reaffirming his commitment to Alabama. Nate Oates flew out to California to see Jaden Shackelford and get him recommitted because they need guards next year. And, you know, you just look at the roster and they need to make sure that the guards that they have come back. And then Jalen Forbes from Mississippi, I think he's I think if you had to boil it down into Twitter terms, Jalen Forbes is kind of a gump. I think he likes Alabama regardless.
Okay. The three assistants on this staff, like we said, there hasn't been an official announcement, although in a couple of these cases, the assistant coaches have announced that they're coming to Alabama on their Twitter profiles. So if they're going to say it's official, then I don't think we necessarily need to wait for the press release from the athletic department. Antoine Petway, who has received so much credit for being one of the lead recruiters for Alabama for the last few years, is going to be retained from Avery Johnson's staff. This is Antoine Petway's fourth different Alabama staff. Did I read that correct?
I guess Cecil? If you count working with
he wasn't
working
an,
with Mark.
Right. He wasn't an assistant coach for Godfrey, but he was on the staff,
UGA
right?
GA type.
Yeah.
He had some position.
Then you have...
Then he was with Anthony, and then he was with Avery.
Right. Brian Hodgson coming... From Buffalo. Had been one of the primary recruiters for Buffalo and really received a lot of credit in particular for some of their work with junior colleges, getting those guys on campus at
right.
Buffalo. And then Charlie Henry, who I believe was also a candidate to be an assistant coach at Iowa State, chose to come to Alabama as a guy who had been an NBA G League head coach.
Had been an assistant with the Bulls, with Hoiberg,
right.
too. Those G Leagues, particularly when your G League team is in town, there's a lot of contact, a lot of interaction.
Yeah. Can I tell you a funny story about the G League?
Sure.
Briefly. So the G League previously had been known as the NBA D League, was the NBA's developmental league, which is where the D came from. Then they got a sponsorship deal with Gatorade, so it became the G League. But I didn't hear about the sponsorship deal. I just one day heard about the NBA G League and assumed that they were putting different letters on different levels of minor league. I was like, man, when did the NBA get rookie league ball? You got
because minor league baseball actually used to have back in the long ago. They had AAA, AA, B, C, D, and went to D.
I think. Now that they have a couple different levels of single A and rookie league ball and minor league baseball, right. I'd assume there was a D league, E league, F league, and G league. I knew better than that by the time Charlie Henry came onto our radars. He'd been with the Windy City Bulls for the last two or three seasons, had been an assistant for the Chicago Bulls for a few years before that, had been at Iowa State previously, actually goes all the way back with Nate Oates to Romulus High School in 2009-2010 as an assistant coach there. So a lot of history between those two. Probably not a surprise that Antoine Petway was retained. Probably not a surprise that Brian Hodgson is joining him from Buffalo. But a little bit of a coup to go out there and get an assistant coach who had some options and was pretty generally
well-regarded. I think there were media reports in Nebraska that he was coming, that Hoiberg was bringing him to Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that his the relationship that he had with Nate Oates just went back further there, and there may be a little different title when it comes to the end. He may be
an associate head coach or something,
something of that nature.
I would say, and you know far more about basketball than me, but this is probably an important hire for Nate Oates as well, because he doesn't necessarily have a huge track record of sending guys to the NBA. Some of that is just the level of player that he had recruited his first couple years at Buffalo. He'd recruited higher level players recently.
Yeah, Massenburg will have a chance. CJ Massenburg, who was their star this year, will have a chance.
But some of these level of players that you'll be recruiting at Alabama will obviously want to know, how are you going to develop me for the NBA? You know, how are you going to get me prepared for that? You can say, well, we've got a guy who spent 6 years or whatever it is as an NBA assistant, a guy who had been in the G League, a guy who knows what they're looking for,
right?
And he'll be on staff, and that'll be a good selling point for him to have. I don't know if that was consciously done or if they were just going after a guy who was really well regarded that Nate Oates had a relationship, but that will benefit them, I think.
It will. That was one feather that Avery always had in his cap. I mean, you can debate, you know, that Colin was going to go no matter if Cecil Hurt coached him, but nonetheless, Avery Johnson coached him.
Yeah,
and he's
Avery Johnson, an NBA point guard, recruited Colin Sexton, who wanted to be an NBA point guard.
Yes, and who was a lottery pick in the NBA draft. And, you know, those things are all true.
So yeah.
I'll be interested to see whether Colin, who's been pretty good with his interactions with Alabama, whether he keeps that up after the season. I know he has an open invitation, obviously.
Obviously, there are some guys who end up being more loyal to the coach than to the program. You know, that's not to say there's anything right or wrong about that. Dwayne Wade went to Marquette, although I believe for a while he was going to work out at IU when Tom Crean was at IU.
Yeah.
Other basketball news for Alabama. We saw pictures of Nate Oates on spring break last week, right? He took the job, and he already was down there in Destin.
Can you blame him? He'd been in Buffalo for 6 months.
We're giving him a hard time. He was down there in Destin because Trendon Watford and his family was in Destin. He took Antoine Petway down there, and I believe Yasir Roseman, who's not going to be retained on this staff.
But had been involved in the recruitment.
Went down there and talked with Trendon Watford and his family. Trendon has said that Alabama is still very much involved in his recruitment. He's believed to be he hasn't set an official date, but I think he said he plans or intends or expects to make his decision at the Jordan Brand Classic, the All-Star game that he's going to be playing in later this month. So probably about 2 weeks you'll know where Trendon Watford is going.
Yeah, that's the target date's April the 20th, which the joke is that that's why Nick Saban moved A-Day up a week, so he wouldn't conflict with Trendon's announcement, because normally the A-Day game would have been on the 20th.
Yeah.
One other staff thing I do want to mention before we get away. John Pelfrey's been named the head coach at Tennessee Tech.
Yes.
And congratulations to John. He'll do a great job. He's from Kentucky, which the OVC, as you know,
you could say he was unforgettable for some folks in Kentucky.
The OVC, more or less, although there are other members, is a Tennessee-Kentucky league.
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally Murray and Moorhead and Austin Peay and so forth. And so he'll do well at Tennessee Tech. Congratulations to
him. I'm always curious sometimes when there's a coaching change to see where the other coaches end up getting jobs. Every once in a while you'll see a coach get fired and the assistant coaches all get really good jobs, in which case you wonder what went wrong or what would have happened if they'd stayed around for another year. In some cases, head coaches get fired and nobody finds a job,
In John's case, again, knows the area. And for Tennessee Tech to get a guy who has SEC head coaching experience, not just assistant coaching, but
had taken
Arkansas
to the NCAA tournament, I believe. Yeah. Had taken South Alabama to the NCAA tournament. I don't remember if it was Eastern or Western Kentucky, where his first head coaching job was. But he's obviously a good coach with a lot of experience.
Right.
Antoine Petway being retained, as we mentioned. We'll see what happens with Yasir Rosemond. So
back to recruiting.
Right. Trendon Watford. A lot of people still think that Memphis is the team to beat for him. LSU maybe could still be involved. Indiana has been mentioned as being a possibility. His brother Christian was a player there a few years ago. Do you have any kind of a read on him? Or is it too soon?
It's not too soon. You can speculate. I just don't think that there's a correct answer. I don't think there's a a magic answer that's in the hat they've made that decision final and they're just sitting on it until mm-hmm. the 20th. I'm sure they discuss it among themselves. The situation at one point, I probably would have said LSU had a very strong chance. At this point, they're in limbo little bit and may have some recruiting contact with him, but can't even tell him if Will Wade will be the head coach or not.
You
just can't, in honesty, do that. So I think that makes it very difficult for them. I'm sure that Indiana's still trying.
Making calls.
But I would say Alabama and Memphis would be the two most active ones. And then Duke is his other finalist. And I don't know that they've how much energy they've devoted to his recruitment yet, or if they've seen what their roster will be next year. Obviously, they're losing that trio of freshmen and Reddish Barrett and Zion. So if they get involved late, we'll have to see. But I would say right now, Alabama or Memphis or Alabama would be the decision they're having to make.
Yeah. Any other players on Alabama's radar either for this recruiting class or this recruiting cycle or futures that should be on Alabama's radar?
Yeah, they're recruiting. One thing about the transfer portal, giveth and taketh away. And, if Alabama has some guys who are considering transferring out, they also are involved with guys who would transfer in, I think, this weekend at A-Day. And I think several of the signees will be on campus. I'm not sure if Shackelford's going to come from California, but I think there's a chance that Gary and Forbes will be here. And I'm probably, I don't know if this is breaking news or not, but I think that most people in West Virginia expect Beadle Bolden, was the starting point guard for West Virginia. West Virginia didn't have a great year this year, but a large part of that was Beadle Bolden was injured. I think he'll be on campus this weekend. And
breaking news here on the Bama Beat.
we'll be visiting. And so it'll be interesting to see. They need another point guard. Just because Kyra has said he's coming back, that still doesn't solve all the depth issues that they have. So I think that he'll be visiting the campus very soon.
Yeah. Beadle Bolden at West Virginia this year averaged 12.2 points, 2.6 rebounds, 2.5 assists in 18 games with 12 starts. I'd assume that 18 games with 12 starts indicates that he was playing while hurt a little bit for part of the season.
Yeah.
So his numbers could have been better, perhaps, if he'd been healthier. Alabama, at this point, we should just address one of the elephants in the room here. 13 scholarships for basketball. At the moment, they have 13 scholarship players either returning or signed for the 2019-20 season. Trendon Watford would make it 14, and if there's another player who commits, then that would bring it up to 15. Is there a possibility of any other roster attrition or changes?
Sure. That's, they have 13 spots, and, that's with any coaching change.
That's 13, assuming that Ingram and Giddens do not return, by the way.
Right. It's 13, however it shakes
out. I'm saying that the roster is committed for 13 at this point, either way,
That checkbook has to be balanced in August, when school starts.
Right.
Between then, you can be a little higher. And, guys could see better opportunities for playing time somewhere else. And so it would not surprise me in the least. It would surprise me very much if the 13 that are on the roster tracker today, if that's the 13-man roster that they go with in August.
Okay.
Probably at some positions, they've changed the way that they want to play. Nate Oates, different style, more perimeter oriented, more up tempo.
If you're going to play with one post player and four guys out, yeah, or four guys more similar to playing outside, that doesn't mean that you're playing four guys who are 6'3".
Right.
But if you're playing one in and four out, then you don't necessarily need the same roster construction as if you're playing what you've seen the last couple of years here.
You're not going to have space for Daniel Giddens plus Raymond Hawkins plus two other, you know, Galen Smith plus Javian Davis Fleming, and so
yeah, you just don't need four guys if that's one job on your team.
Yeah, there's no sense in that. That's not even a 40-minute position for the way you want to play,
right?
And you don't need four roster spots to split up less than 40 minutes.
Yeah,
particularly when you're short point guard wise. There are other players in the transfer portal that they could take a look at. The kid at Florida Gulf Coast, I know, has been mentioned, and if Chapman as a possibility to come and visit, not in the transfer portal, but, you know, James Rojas, who's a first team junior college All-American, who committed to Buffalo. He's from the Buffalo area, Jamestown, New York. He was playing at Hutchinson, Kansas. He'd be a possibility. I don't know, you know, having signed. Hey. It's a business, but having signed Raymond Hawkins, I don't know if they'd sign another Buffalo commitment or not. But it's not entirely impossible. And certainly, I mean, he was a first team. He's 6'7", kind of a swing guy. Again, not a position where they're notably short, but
right. He
was a first team junior college All-American. So
yeah,
I wouldn't say he's, depending on what happens in some other situations, a lot of moving parts in recruiting, as always, but I think a backup point guard, probably Bolden being the first candidate, but I think that's something that's got to be addressed. There's just not one. You know, Shackelford is probably that size, but I don't know that that's necessarily his skill set. So Kyra can't play 40 minutes of high tempo basketball every game, never foul out, never get tired.
Yeah. You met with Nate Oates this week, had a little bit more time with him that was not in a press conference setting or with 20 other reporters around. Just any first impressions, any good stories? Did you guys talk about anything
off
fun?
The record. We did not talk about a lot of the things we've talked about on this podcast as far as roster and so forth. We talk more about what he's going to do with his family, getting kids in school, and familiarizing himself with state of Alabama and a different part. He's lived in rural parts of Illinois and Wisconsin. You know, it's not that he's been entirely inner city. It's not like you're getting a guy that's you know, his whole career has been in Long Island or you know, inner city Chicago. He's been different places. Played at a very small school in Wisconsin, Maranatha. He's not unfamiliar with the kind of urban rural landscape that you have in Alabama, particularly in terms of basketball. So
yeah.
So we talked a lot about those kind of things, and less so, you know, I'm certainly there to listen. But this wasn't a, what about this guy? What about this guy? What about this guy kind of conversation?
Yeah. Okay. I think we covered a lot of ground here. We talked about adventures of the transfer portal. Talked about additions to the coaching staff. We talked a little bit about recruiting. Anything else that we need to discuss basketball-wise before we break away here? This might be the last basketball podcast we do for a little bit, depending on what kind of news comes out.
Congratulations to Braxton Key.
Yeah.
National
played
champion.
Well. Six Huge points and ten rebounds.
Ten rebounds.
And a block that sent the game to overtime.
You know, Braxton and left after last season, had a mutual, I think, parting with Avery, and got his waiver, which was big for him.
Big for Virginia, as it turned out. Big for
Virginia, absolutely. So, it's not an ending. Braxton has another year of eligibility, but, a great way for the season to end for Braxton Key.
How much of a difference would he have made to Alabama this year if you look at him playing that four position?
So hypothetical, you know.
Yeah, but
had he played like he played the second half of last night's game,
Alabama made a tremendous difference. Yeah.
Alabama would have been in the tournament.
Yeah.
Had he played like he played in some other games, maybe not.
He
so
was
much.
Not a full-time starter for them. He was a guy who was always in their rotation, but was not the star of the team by any means there.
But you know, sometimes, I mean, guys, new style, new atmosphere, and it's better for everybody.
Yeah,
you know. But again, now, if Braxton was 6 points, 10 rebounds, and taking charges and blocking shots every game, he'd have put Alabama in the tournament. No question about that.
Helped Alabama get further in the tournament than Virginia did last year.
That's true too. So it's a win-win. He won on both ends of the deal.
Yeah. All right, folks, thanks for listening to us. We're not asking you guys for ratings or reviews these days because you guys got us to 100 so quick. So we are just saying thank you for that. All right, we'll talk to you soon. This is the Bama Beat.